Okay, tomorrow night Shemitah, so to speak, wrap up the dinim. Tonight we're going to talk about the mitzvah of actually shaking the lulav and esrig. So we're not going to discuss about the lulav and the esrig and the adasim and the rovus, you know, how to pick them and whatever. So the halacha is like this. First of all, this year Shabbos, so therefore there's no lulav and esrig like we learned, and therefore like we learned the lulav and esrig are muktzah on Shabbos, you can't move them at all. But tomorrow, the next day, Sunday, we get up early. It says in Shulchan Aruch, Mashkimim, Makdimim, we get up early to do the mitzvah of lulav, especially the first time. In Halacha, it says that before you do the mitzvah of lulav and esrog, it's preferable not to eat. Preferable also not to drink. Drinking is not so bad. But a person should refrain, if possible, from eating before benching lulav, any day of Yom Tov, by the way. Whenever you're benching lulav, you shouldn't eat before you bench lulav. Now, the way that it works with the benching of lulav, there's a lot of different customs in the shaking and in the whole thing. So I'm going to tell you the Chabad way of doing it. And everybody has their own customs, like we said. Okay, now, the din is like this. In order to be yetzer the mitzvah, you have to hold them the way they grow. In other words, if somebody would take a lulav and turn it upside down, or the esrog and turn it upside down, then you're not yetzer. It has to be upward, okay, the way we know them to be upward. Another thing is very important to keep in mind, the actual mitzvah of benching lulav and esrog is just putting them together. Once you put them together, you did the mitzvah. The shakings are then what's called the nanuim, that's additional. The mitzvah is you touch the four minim together, then you already did the mitzvah. This, by the way, halachically, this that we tie the adasim and the rovus to the lulav, is what's called hidden mitzvah because it looks nicer. Technically, if you have a lulav, loose lulav, adasim and rovus, and you just put them all together, you yate to the mitzvah. This that we tie the adasim and the rovus to the lulav is to beautify the mitzvah. So now, the first day, or any time you're benching lulav, so our custom is, now, there's two, another thing. The best time to bench lulav is right before halal. The best place to bench lulav is in the sukkah. But you can't do both things together. It says, everybody will go out in the middle of davening and go out to the sukkah, they won't come back. Especially if there's food there, they're for sure not going to come back. So therefore, the custom is, you bench lulav before davening in the sukkah. That's the, if somebody has a sukkah, the preferable place where to bench the lulav and esrog is in the sukkah. So our custom is as follows. You hold the lulav in your right hand. Okay? Our minig is also your feet are together when you bench lulav. When you make the bracha on the lulav, our feet are together. You take the lulav in your right hand. You make the bracha shekichanu b'mitzvesi v'tzivanu al netilas lulav. The first day you also have a Shechiyonu. So our custom is, when you start saying the Shechiyonu, Baruch Atah, you take the esrog in your left hand, but you don't put it together. When you finish the Shechiyonu, then you put the lulav and esrog together. And that's why many times you'll see people will turn the esrog upside down. So what they do is, they take the lulav in the right hand, and they turn the esrog upside down. So even though they're touching, you didn't do the mitzvah yet because it's upside down. It goes, yeah, but that with the pitum is the top of the esrog. That's okay, let's not get into that now. That's the top of the esrog. So a lot of people, they'll take when they make the bracha, they'll take the esrog upside down and they'll bench the bracha until slulav, even though they're touching, and then they turn the esrog right side up, so then they did a mitzvah. Because once you did a mitzvah, you can't make the bracha anymore. Like I said, if you touch the lulav and esrog together, you did the mitzvah, you can't make a bracha anymore because you're not obligated. So the way you do it is like this. You take the lulav in your right hand, unless if you're left-handed, then you take the lulav in your left hand. But if you're a right-handed person, you take with the spine of the lulav, meaning the front of the lulav facing you. Okay? You make the bracha shek shem mitzvah on tes lulav. The first day make shechianu, or the second day, the first time you do it. You take the esrog in your left hand, start making the bracha shechianu, He says, Shachyon v'kimon v'yon l'zman hazeh, you put it together, and then you do the mitzvah. Now, our meaning is also that when you bench lulav and esrig, you also do what's called nadnuyim, the shaking of the lulav. And our meaning is also that the feet are together, and you start from the heart. Okay? Just telling you the way Chabad does it, the way the Rebbe did it, and this is the way it's brought down to do it in Chabad minhagim. So you start with the lulav by enlacing in your heart. Now the directions are right, left, center, up, down, back.
Where do you put the esrog at that time?
In your left hand. It's still holding in your left hand. The lulav in the right, the esrog in the left. So you feed that together and you start and you go three times in each direction. But our custom is that when you go to the right, you shake it and then bring it back to the heart. You shake, when you go there, it shakes a little, and then you put it back. And then you do that three times. Then you go to the left. Shake it, and bring it back to the heart. Go front. So there's a lot of different couples. Some people point that lulav to the direction you're shaking it in. So they'll do right, they'll point the lulav to the right, to the left, but we don't do that. We hold the lulav upright, and you go, but shake it, shake it, shake it, and then to the left and center, and up also. The way the Rebbe used to do it is he went up and brought it down, and then went like this. There was a downward motion, and then he brought it to the heart. Down is also, you put it down, shake it. You don't turn the lulav upside down. You just put down your hands three times, and then you shake it and put it back. And then over the shoulder, and then the third time, you reveal more of the esrig, and you go more all the way to the left. Okay? That is the way it's done when you bench lulav and halal and the shaking that you do during the nanuim and halal. So we always face east when you do the nanuim, the bracha and the lulav, you face east. The nanuim, you face east. And again, there's a lot of different customs which direction you go. We go right, left, center, up, down, back. What?
Do you always have to do this lulav standing up?
The mitzvah of lulav should be standing up.
If your sukkah is very short, can you sit down
with it? You're not supposed to sit down when you do it. Huh? For the bracha, for sure, you have to stand.
It's okay to do it once bending at least?
Bending. If you have a lower sukkah, get a bigger sukkah.
Yeah, it always hits my
sukkah.
And then it becomes possible.
Well, yeah, then the lulav is going to become possible, that's for sure. But get a taller sukkah. How tall is your sukkah? Shouldn't be a problem. Unless you go like this, up. Shouldn't be a problem.
3 foot
lulav. Huh? So what? But you don't take it from here, you take it from the middle of your body.
Yeah,
so
where?
Yeah, you have to be careful when you do it, and sure, you shouldn't bang it to somebody else or bang it to Aron Kadosh or whatever it is.
Okay. You only do it by the first way you do, the second way you don't?
You do it in Hallel.
In Hallel.
Okay, right after Hallel Hashem Kol Gam Shem Kol Kolomim, you do it by the first way you do. Yeah. Then you do it twice by Ana Hashem Hashiyano. And then again, Haidu Lashem Kitev right after Keliyata, only the first one. Now, during Hallel, so when you say Hashem's name, you don't shake. You don't shake the lulav. So when you say Haidu, so you have Haidu Lashem Kitev Ki La'elam Chazde, six words, six directions. So when you say Haidu, you go to the right, Lashem, you don't go. Ki, Tay, Ki, Eilam, Chazni. Okay? And by Ana Hashem, there's three words, because again, by Hashem, you don't shake. So you have Ana Hashem Hashiyana. So you do two directions by Ana, two directions by Hashia, and two directions by Na. That's as far as. Now, halachically, again, you're not allowed to use somebody else's lulav. You can't say, lend me your lulav, or if you're Shiva Yibacha, you would say, borrow me your lulav.
Yeah.
That's the way they talk. Borrow me your lulav, and because it has to be given matana manas lahachzir. And that's why there's a problem if somebody has little kids, there's a din that little kids, it's approximately from the age of 6, could acquire something if you give it to them, but they cannot give it back to you. They're not, they can be acquiring something, but they cannot have the ability to give something. So let's say you have your lulav, and you want your kid to bench the lulav and esrog, your 7-year-old, 8-year-old kid, and you give him the lulav, and you say, here's the lulav, and you give it to him, so to speak, as a gift, so then the kid acquired the lulav. Now, it's his lulav, that's good, but he can't give it back to you, because he doesn't have that ability to give it back to you. So therefore, when you do it with kids, the parents should have in mind that he's not giving it to them. They're only doing for chinuch, for educational purpose, not obligated in the mitzvah. So the father should say, I'm not giving it to you. I'm not giving it to acquire it. I'm just letting you use it for me. Ideally, you're supposed to say matana menas lahachzir. Liberal, they're maker with thinking about it, but officially the Rebbe writes he's supposed to say matana menas lahachzir. What? Because the first day there's no lulav.
Yeah,
but even though, but l'chatchila, the end of the day should also, l'chatchila, should also be all the inyanim of the first day should be the other days also. Right? Because it's still better. But yeah, you're right. Then this year, it wouldn't matter because it doesn't have to be, it could be borrowed also, but that's only b'diavad, not l'chatchila. Women are not obligated in lulav. We learned that the other day when you were here. I said, we learned the other day, women can make a bracha, unless if you're Sephardic, then women can't make a bracha. But halachically, women can make a bracha. But that's what the, he said, Taizis, Rashba, Ritva, Rama, what? All the Ashkenazic poskim. If you're doing lulav and esrog, you want to eat first? You should bench lulav in the house. Well, not with a bracha again. Yeah. I mean, not eating before lulav is pretty important. And if you have to eat, you can eat less than 2 ounces of cake or something like that. Fruit you can eat, but you really shouldn't eat before lulav. So if somebody, let's say he's going straight from shul to work and they eat breakfast before, so then they should bench lulav first and then they'll come to shul and do what they need to do. Okay, when you give it to somebody else, okay, let me see. Okay, there is a concept that for the other days that if you assume a guy won't mind, but there's a din. Guy comes to your house and he wants to use your lulav and esrog. The husband's not home, the wife is home. Does she have a right to give it to him? It's not hers, it's the husband's. Does she have a right to give it to him? So it says in halacha that if the wife knows her husband, she said, yeah, he wouldn't mind, then she can give it to him. But if she knows her husband wouldn't want it, she's not allowed to give it to him. Community property, the shul's lulav and esrog, halachically, and that's where everybody can bench on the shul public lulav, because the chatchila is bought with communal money and therefore belongs to the community. So everybody has a part in the ownership of the lulav, and that's why you can bench on a shul lulav and esrog or whatever.
Can you buy your own house esrog and lulav with that kavanah?
No. Because then it's not really yours. I mean, you should. You should buy it the first day. You should.
Can you buy it?
Huh? Yeah, that's what people do. They don't want to ruin their. They have a very expensive lulav and esrog. It's a very interesting thing. The Rebbe once spoke. It's brought down the Pelush Shesfarim, but the Rebbe mentioned it many times. In my days, there weren't as many people in 770 as there are now. But even after a few days, you know, when a lot of people touch an esrog, the oil from the fingers, eventually the Rebbe's esrog turned brown a lot. Okay, then in the later years with much more people, on the first day or second day already, it was turned brown. So some, a Pailus should have, a great Pailus should have, used to do this. The Rebbe brought this down many times. And the, one of the people asked him, Rebbe, you're letting everybody use your lulav and esrig. The esrig's not nice anymore. It's not the beauty. It's turning brown a little bit. So the Pailus should have said, what better, more beautiful esrig is there than an esrig that so many people made a bracha over? So is there a more beautiful esrig than an esrig that people made a bracha? And the Rebbe quoted that many, many times. About his own, whatever. No. The Rebbe had, the one that the Rebbe gave out, was the one he said the bracha. The Rebbe had another lulav and esrig also, but officially the one the Rebbe benched on was the one he gave out.
So it's considered a community lulav
esrig? No, when the Rebbe gave it out, the Rebbe would tell him, I'm giving it to everybody, matonam and aslahachzir. The last year, Tafshin Nun Beis, the year that the Rebbe had a stroke, the last year the Rebbe was out for sukkahs. Okay, what used to be is like this. The Rebbe would come, let's say, davening was 10 in the morning. The Rebbe would come the first day, let's say, 8 o'clock. The Rebbe would go into the sukkah, bench lulav, and then he gave it out. So, the people were standing in line already to bench lulav, and they were benching lulav until right before halal. Because then the Rebbe needed his lulav and esrig for halal. So, the guy in charge, Rabbi Meir Harlik, would bring the Rebbe the lulav and esrig right before halal. And then after davening, the Rebbe gave it back out to continue. The last year, Tovshin Nun Beis, I mean, that was here. But the last year, the Rebbe came out to the sukkah and he said he wants to watch everybody bench lulav. From 8 o'clock in the morning, the Rebbe stayed and was watching thousands of people bench lulav. And the Rebbe was telling some people, they didn't say the bracha, right? The Rebbe was telling people different things along the way. And they kept asking the Rebbe, Rebbe Gaon, they kept asking the Rebbe, when are we davening? It was already after 10, it was 10:30. It was later, and he said to the Rebbe, when are we davening Shachris? The Rebbe said, when we davening Shachris? And he asked him a few times, when are we davening Shachris? The Rebbe said, when we davening Shachris? Like, bug off, you know? Anyway, I think the Rebbe was there, if I'm not mistaken, something like 2:30. And then they davening Shachris. But that was the last time the Rebbe, the last sukkah that the Rebbe was... Machachinus of Mesome, Machabeba, Mine, Kim Sula, Galte, of Hanam Kashimet, Dr. Borosak, Soviet Revolam, Termission, Madina, Hoffing, Tuman, Sitka, Yagdul.